The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan
on News Talk.
Yes, the iconic music to the movie Chariots of Fire. And of course, you would have seen the news we mentioned earlier that the composer of that music, the soundtrack to that film, Vangelis, the Greek composer, passed away yesterday, age 79. The producer of Chariots of Fire, of course, was Lord David Putnam. And I'm delighted to say he joins me now on the show. David, you're welcome to The Hard Shoulder. It's good to talk to you again. A sad day, I'm sure, for you and everybody else who knew Vangelis.
It is, Kieran. I mean, he's a fantastic guy, and obviously I owe him more than I could ever possibly repay in every sense, creatively, financially, and Lord knows what else. But he was a very, very nice man, and a very incredibly gifted. I mean, he's a good painter. I think his paintings were about to go on exhibition around the world. A kind of classic Greek philosopher, if you like. He had views on the way the world should be. And a very special person and uniquely gifted.
When it comes to a soundtrack like that, I mean, how much input do you as a producer, or do directors or anybody else have, or does he go off and he just does his own thing?
No, I mean, I think the input that we made, it was a very good call, Hugh Hudson, the director, and I, was that the source music within the film is of Gilbert and Sullivan. And that's kind of very, very much set in the 1920s. And we needed to counterpoint that to make the audience feel this was a modern film. We're now talking about a film that was made 40 years ago, but that it was a modern film. And the answer we felt was electronic music. Now, electronic music hadn't been used very much at all, if at all, in movies. I'd used Giorgio Moroder on Midnight Express, but I think that was about the first. So that was the brief to him. We had a piece of luck. And his father had died not that far, but long before. His father had been an Olympian, actually a field athlete. And he wanted to kind of write a requiem for his dad. And this hadn't gone on for some considerable while. And in the end, we had music. We were very happy with what we had. And one evening, after the film was effectively closed, he called up outside a restaurant, got my wife and I into the back of his car, and played us a tape. And the tape was the piece of music you just heard. So every hair on the back of my neck went up. And I said, but Vangelis, it's too late. The film's been locked, as we call it. And he said, oh, I said, it's wonderful, but it's too late. And I said, the only thing we could do is we could unscramble the front and end titles and put it over the front and end titles of the film. And we'll try it. And that's exactly what we did. So that score, which is, as you said, iconic, isn't actually in the movie as such at all. It is only over the end and front titles.
Yeah. For some reason, we all kind of we hear the music and we picture them running on the beach, despite the fact that they're not necessarily happening at the same time when you watch it. But listen, that's not strictly why you're here. Although Vangelis is well remembered by you, you're here, I suppose, in your capacity not just as a former film producer, a member of the House of Lords, but as an educator, and specifically. Your argument, and you'll correct me if I get this wrong, that you don't think enough emphasis is put on careers in film and television when it comes to secondary school leavers. Is that fair?
I think it's very fair. I mean, I've actually asked around a great deal, and I'll be corrected very happily if I'm wrong. I have yet to go to a school where actively they ask graduating students, have they shown an interest in or are they interested in the film and television and creative arts world? Very, very, very few schools do that. And so as a result, it's literally not offered as a career option. It just isn't out there as a career option. They're asked if they want to be lawyers or accountants or whatever. Very, very seldom they're asked if they want to be in the film and television industry. And that, as an industry, is growing here in Ireland and indeed across Europe faster than any of those other businesses I just mentioned.
And why do you suspect that is, David? Is it just a historical thing? Is there an element of snobbery? Is it a cultural thing? Why?
I don't think it's snobbery and I don't think it's cultural. I think it's a lack of expertise. I think, to be honest, I think if a kid, and it would have been true incidentally when I was at school, if a kid goes to the careers master or somebody else and says, I'd really quite fancy being in the film industry, there is no file to get out. There's no one's going to say to him, oh, well, in that case, this is what you do. I think, you know, the average career master would be fairly befuddled And so there's no expertise, there's no advice, there's no single place to go to. The industry is beginning to make this case, frankly, because it has to. We're suffering as an industry from very, very high levels of growth, but a real talent shortage, particularly in those myriad jobs, really interesting jobs, costume, production, editing, which are essential to the film industry. These are very well-paid jobs, really enjoyable jobs, but the schools and indeed universities are just not providing the talent.
And I wonder, it's funny you mentioned those jobs, because I suspect as well, because that lack of expertise and that history isn't there, people probably have a kind of a more myopic view of what jobs are available in the film industry. They think actor, director, producer, and after that, they're not really sure. Like there's a whole range of a suite of career options.
Well, Kieran, I wish it was even that. I'll bet you a pound to a penny that nobody in his school ever said to Lenny Abramson, would you like to be a film director? Or to John Carney, one of the very, very good directors around this country. I'll guarantee they would never ask the school how they fancied being the idea of being a film director.
Do you think the industry then itself has to play a role here in terms of getting out and getting into the schools and making students and teachers and career guidance counsellors aware?
I think the industry is trying. I really do. I think that the current management at Film Ireland's done a very good job in getting out and about. But I don't think they're getting very much support from the, and this is my personal perception, very much support from the education community. It's getting better within universities, but actually it's among secondary students where this, as a career option, ought to be laid out to young people very, very early on. It's a great job, it's a well-paid job, and it's something they should embrace.
I'm just thinking of the studios that we have here in Ireland and the filming that takes place here, like on location as well. And I struggle to come up with a better way to entertain a group of transition year students, for example, for an afternoon or a day or a couple of days than bringing to visit something like this. I mean, they'd be blown away by it, wouldn't they?
I think they would. I think it's a very, very good point you're making. But in all honesty, did anyone when you were at school suggest that maybe you'd like to be in the radio business?
No, absolutely not. You had to pursue a career that was exactly that. It was a career, a profession, a job that would give you a steady income and a pension at the end of it.
And yet I bet you wouldn't swap one for the other.
No, I certainly wouldn't. So, I mean, how then? So, like, is it more collaboration then from other education stakeholders? Is that what's needed to solve this problem?
I think it's very nicely put. It is across the stakeholder community in education to understand they need to broaden their vision as to what really attractive jobs are out there, what attractive careers are out there, and frankly, the ways in which you put it beautifully. The notion that people in the transition year could go out and taste these jobs, feel these jobs. I tell you what, most of them would never want to go back to the idea of being an accountant again.
It's funny because earlier in the show we were talking about apprenticeships and trades and construction, and often when we do, people will get in touch to say, you know, that they would have loved to have been a carpenter or an electrician or something, but their parents said to them, absolutely not, you've got to get a good solid job. You know, that's what we wanted to do. We wanted to go to college. There was maybe a sense that there was a bit of precariousness attached to the trades, despite lots of evidence to the contrary. I wonder, would that be a problem that has to be surmounted here as well? That, you know, when little Johnny or Mary or whatever go home and they say, listen, we had this great talk from Lord David Putnam about careers in the movie and television industry, that mom and dad, who maybe didn't have that experience themselves in school, this all sounds a bit alien, and they think, absolutely not. That is precarious work, if ever I've heard it.
Well, it's not the case. I mean, take a couple of things you just cited, scenic painting or a carpentry. If you're a scenic carpenter or a scenic painter, you are very, very, very skilled, or you're going to become extraordinarily skilled. If there is a downturn in the industry or a gap between jobs, those people are not going to suddenly become unemployed. You're a really expert painter. You're a really expert carpenter. So in fact, what you're doing is you're enhancing the skill level of what is actually a very core trade.
Well, listen, it sounds like something I would have loved to have done when I was in secondary school, to be brought off to the set of something like, I don't know, Saving Private Ryan or something they might have been making in Ireland back in the day when I was in school. And maybe it's something that could and should be looked at. It's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you. Lord David Putnam is a former film producer. He's a member of the House of Lords and well known for all his advocacy work in education as well in recent years. One listener here says, my son has applied to study film at third level. When he told one of his teachers, their reaction was, well, there's not much money in film. Anyway, 53106. You can keep your texts coming.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With Nissan.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.
Rub shoulders with the stars at Kildare Village. Famous names like Missoni, Sandro and Pinkel. Eat with Saba and Sprout. Explore with the North Face and stay stylish with Johnston's of Elgin. Stay fit with Adidas and Under Armour. Stay cool with Benefit and Ted Baker. And stay gorgeous with the Couples. Wow them with new brands. Seven for All Mankind and Sweaty Betty. All superstars. All at Kildare Village. Something extraordinary every day.